Now, the director of the Monmouth University poll did something unusual recently. He wrote an op-ed in the Star-Ledger in New Jersey and apologized to Democratic Governor Phil Murphy, his Republican challenger Jack Tortorelli, and the voters of that state. The final poll before the election 2 weeks ago was way off. It had Murphy up by 11 points. That night, it looked like he might actually lose. He wound up winning by 2. In response, pollster Patrick Murray wrote, "I blew it," and that, quote, "inaccurate public polling can have an impact on fundraising and voter mobilization efforts." He also raised a question that, since so many polls have been wrong in recent years, is horse race polling for elections still worth doing? Our next guest says if public opinion data is no longer reliable, American democracy could be in trouble. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about election polls? Do you pay attention to them or do you ignore them? How much confidence do you have in political polling today? Have you been polled? What was it like? Did you give honest responses? Did you hang up the phone? What do you think would be a better way of measuring how people feel about a particular race? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. David Graham is a staff writer at The Atlantic. He wrote a piece after last November's elections saying that the polling crisis is a potential catastrophe for U.S. democracy. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
You saw this piece by pollster Patrick Murray, a pretty influential poll, Monmouth University. What was your reaction to what he had to say?
Well, it was really interesting. And I think it is something to take seriously because Murray is a really well-respected pollster and his polls tend to be very good. And you know, his takeaway that maybe these sort of horse race polling, especially at the end of election, is a bad thing is really interesting. And that's the kind of thing you don't see pollsters saying a lot. But I think he's onto something. I mean, it's clearly true that we have an unhealthy relationship with polls in this country, and especially between the press and polls in this country. And I think, you know, the backlash after these elections is another example of that.
What do you see as the point of having horse race polls, even if they were good? If we had good, reliable horse race polls that did a pretty good job of predicting the outcome of an election, would that be worth doing?
Well, I think everybody just wants to know. I mean, whether it's almost a question of like whether it's worth doing is a little bit beyond the point because people clearly want to know. We see this in the popularity of polls. We see it in the popularity of places like 538 and, you know, the New York Times Upshot. Like, people just want to know who's up and who's down. And that is both readers and that's the press. So you can see why there's a demand for it. And, you know, I like to know that too. It's useful to know who might be winning. I think that's important for the press and understanding sort of who to cover and how to cover them. But I also think that can get out of whack to the point where instead of covering the candidates with the polls as a sort of important input and something to illuminate the way we do that, it becomes what we cover. It is the sole focus.
Right. And that could lead to how does this policy affect the candidate in the polling? Is that where you see the coverage getting unhealthy?
Yeah, or like even not to that point. I mean, that's a sort of a level of complication beyond some of what we get, which is what do the polls say? And I've said this before, but I find it really striking. When Nate Silver created 538 during the 2008 election cycle, he thought that it would allow reporters to stop covering polls poorly, which he rightly said a lot of people were doing, and instead to cover policy issues more. And instead now what you see is a lot of us just write about whatever 538 happens to be saying from day to day and week to week.
Apart from how we use the polls, there's also concern about polls being off, and it's happened in a handful of elections, very high-profile elections lately. Do you have thoughts on why they're missing the mark?
It's a really good question, and it's a question that the polling industry is grappling with. You know, we had this big miss in 2016, and afterwards pollsters went back and looked at their numbers and concluded the error had been that they were not sufficiently weighting for education, which means basically they thought that there were going to be that the electorate was going to be more educated than it did. There were more white non-college educated voters than they believed there would be, and so they were going to fix that in the 2020 election, and they did. Many of them, they started paying attention to that, and yet they still missed by several points in a lot of these races. And so there have been similar postmortems after the 2020 election, and they don't really have an answer. I mean, one answer is not the right people are answering their phones. The people who are answering their phones seem to be more liberal and more educated, which makes it harder to get a representative sample. But overall, they don't know why, and they don't have a consensus answer about how to fix it either.
Talking to David Graham from The Atlantic about a crisis in political polling, especially those election polls. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, maybe your experience if you have been polled. 800-642-1234. Well, I'll answer a phone now. Let's hear from Jake in Appleton. Jake, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What did you want to bring up, Jake?
You know, I just wanted to share that I'm 28 and I've had the opportunity to vote in three different presidential elections. And every time I've been called for polling, it's always been before debates. And the last two out of the three elections, I've actually changed my decision based on the feedback from the results of those debates. So I think if you poll too early, it leaves a lot on the table for those who are still on the border, or there's issues that are more, you know, important to one for another reason or another. So that's just my feedback on it.
Sure. And Jake, I wanted to ask, when you get these polls, are they just kind of quick hits who you're voting for, or do they dig deep to try to find out more about you?
Very, very light on the demographic information, essentially just a red or blue voter. No information on gender or any other type of information that they could better track demographic related patterns. So it's surprising there too, if you're going to take the time to call me, at least get to know me, right?
Interesting, Jake. Well, I'm glad we got to know you a little bit here. David, what do you think about Jake's experience being polled?
Well, one, I mean, it's remarkable to be polled that many times. And I think that maybe is a little bit of a factor of living in an important swing state. Something you hear from a lot of people is, well, I've never been polled, so the polls can't be genuine. Although statistically, the odds of actually getting polled are remarkably low. I think his point about the debates is really interesting. One of the polls that, one of the kinds of polling we see, there are different kinds of polls, but sometimes you'll try to poll a representative sample and a pollster will choose a different representative sample every time around. Other ones will stick with the same group of people, and then you can sort of track how they're changing their views over the course of an election season. Those polls have had a pretty good performance the last couple cycles. So maybe there's something to what he's saying. I'd also say, like, one thing he's pointing to there is, and your question is, the difference in quality in pollsters. Some of these pollsters are simply a lot better than others. They're more careful, they're doing more work, they're getting larger samples. And so it's important to look at who the pollsters are. But even some of the high-quality ones have had some notable misses recently.
Jake, thanks for that call. We're talking about election polls and whether they're useful or useless or some point in between. David Graham is with us from The Atlantic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about polling today? When it is election season, do you watch polls? Compulsively, maybe, whether you want to or not. Can't stop refreshing 538, or do you ignore them? Do you think they're harmful in some way? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk about political polling in an op-ed piece in the New Jersey Star-Ledger. The director of the Monmouth University poll says he blew the governor's race in that state, and maybe it's time to get rid of election polls. Our guest says America's polling crisis is a big deal. We can't count on polls to accurately measure how people think. David Graham is with us from The Atlantic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you follow polls? Do you think they're a waste of time? Have you been polled yourself? What was it like? 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to your calls now. Paul is with us in Northern Illinois. Paul, hi.
Hey, how you doing? I always love your show.
Thanks.
Love the way you work it, and it oozes of intellectualism.
Is that good? I can't tell. But go ahead, Paul.
Knowledge is power. It's, you know, having a view of things as they develop is a really good thing. I think when we talk about that, we have different sources, some of them reliable, some of them not reliable. We start to fall into, I think, a trap with the tribalist politics that we've been playing, especially of late. And we start thinking more team than we do sort of the outcome and governance in general. So I find it to be a very negative thing to sort of overdo it like we do so many other things. And I guess that's all I have to say.
Paul, thanks. Interesting point. David, polling might just be reinforcing our tribal divisions, as Paul says it. And maybe when we answer a poll, we're just telling you what team we're on.
I think that's exactly right. There's a real feedback loop there. A lot of questions, if you look at them, they look like sort of how do you feel, really, you know, whatever the answer that's being asked, the answer looks a lot like how do you feel about Donald Trump? You know, that's questions of, you know, whether you thought the election was fair and so on and so forth. You can look down the line. And it's not clear that we're really measuring people's true views about what they feel, but they know what the quote unquote right response for their team is. And then once those numbers get in polls, people see those polls and they are reinforcing what they think the quote unquote right answer for their team is. So I think there's a real feedback loop there that does kind of feed into tribalism.
Thanks for that call, Paul, at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Sarah with us in Madison. Sarah, hi.
Hello. You caught me eating just a
second. Early lunch or just a snack?
No, just a snack that I shouldn't have been eating anyway. So anyway, I just wonder how, I don't know how much they gave you of the information. I'm just wondering how much pollsters are being affected by people like our family and friends who are so sick of all the fraudulent calls we get and scam calls that we really don't answer our phones anymore unless we recognize the number.
Oh, Sarah, thank you so much for sharing that. And David, Sarah and her friends and family are not alone. A lot of people won't pick up a phone, period, and certainly not from an unrecognized number like a pollster might have.
That's exactly right. And that, there's also a generational effect where, you know, a lot of younger voters simply don't have landlines, and it's harder to dial cell phones and to get a hold of cell phones. So this is a real problem for pollsters. They have tried various ways to get around this. One thing is they just try to reweight. So if they get too small a sample of a certain demographic compared to what they expect in the electorate, they will sort of double that in the weight. The other thing they've done is they're experimenting with different ways of polling, like using the internet. And for a long time, internet polling was looked down on as inaccurate. The last few years, as methods have gotten better, some pollsters have had pretty good results using internet polling. But the gold standard remains getting people on the phone, and that's harder to do these days.
Sarah, thanks for calling at 800-642-1234. Talking to David Graham from The Atlantic about a crisis in political polling. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Just a few minutes. Going to have an open call in. You can share your thoughts. How do you use polls? Do you ignore them completely? Do you think they're a problem? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. David, I want to ask about another kind of polling. We've been focusing on the horse race. Are you going to vote for candidate A or B or C or D if they're out there? How about issue polling? Some people have said this is better because you're not trying to predict turnout, who's actually going to vote in the election. It can give a snapshot of what people think about abortion, gun control, marijuana legalization, whatever.
Yeah, I think issue polling is an important tool, especially in the sort of fragmented nation we have now. You know, people are, the general unit is no longer the sort of town meeting. We are increasingly sorted into neighborhoods and cities based on people we agree with. And so we don't get a sort of a wide range of opinion. Our representatives in Congress have larger and larger constituencies compared to what they were historically. So it's just a lot harder to know what people think without those issue polls. And that's why I think polling, despite its flaws, can't really be thrown out. Now, you know, issue polling has its flaws. It seems like in a lot of cases you get answers that suggest, on polling, suggest a much more liberal population than what we actually have. But as Patrick Murray pointed out of Monmouth in that piece, you know, they're a little less fraught because you're not trying to predict who is going to turn out to vote. What you're trying to do is simply measure how the population feels, and that's an easier task. You know, less prone to mistakes about guesses.
I'm thinking back to those '80s commercials on TV, where there's got to be a better way to do whatever it was. Is there a better way, do you think, to have good constructive conversations in American politics that really give us insight to what people are thinking?
I think it's really hard, especially in a big country. I mean, you can do a lot of these things on a smaller level. But I think the old way was flawed for a lot of reasons. You know, what you had was a few editors at major TV stations and newspapers making guesses about what they believe people thought, and then making their coverage decisions from them and then feeding that to the population. And that is really, you know, you can really get a warped idea. people who are sitting at a desk somewhere may not actually know what people are thinking out, you know, many miles and many states away. And so having something that is actually data, I think, is really important. We just need to be more conscious, I think, about when we're giving too much weight to that data. And we also need to recognize that while it is data, it is not cold, hard science. There's human flaws in there and human assumptions. And we need to take that into account when we're interpreting them and making judgments based on them.
And in just our last half minute, before we throw things to our callers at 800-642-1234, David, you follow politics closely. Even with your doubts on polls, do you think you're going to be following them, say, in next year's election season?
Oh, you know it. I mean, I'm like the rat with the sugar water. I know it's bad for me, but I cannot resist it. It's just so alluring. And so I understand the impulse very well.
David, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's David Graham, staff writer at The Atlantic. We talked to him about problems with election polling, why he says there's no longer a really reliable way of gauging how Americans feel about the horse race, if you want to think about it that way, leading up to an election. Now you can weigh in on that topic at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. A straw poll on what you think of political polling. Have you lost faith in election polls? Did you ever have any to begin with? Like them or not, do you follow them more and more as election day approaches? Do you think there's a better way? Do you want to see less coverage of polls in the media? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Marcus joins us now in Madison. Marcus, hi.
Good afternoon. Mr. Graham, the interesting discussion, but the article that you're citing, as I take it, wants to do away with polling that has to do with predicting at the accuracy of numbers in advance, elections, so on. But what I've always found interesting watching polls over many, many years is that while polling is terrible at that, it's often very good at polling like or dislike. People aren't usually going to misrepresent that. So what I've noticed, regardless of administration, for instance, when you're talking about presidents, is that often at different periods, the president is very well liked as a person, their personality, but I find that in very high numbers, their policies are almost universally hated. So the policies are hated, but the people may be liked, which demonstrates to me that the public has almost zero influence on policy making.
Interesting. Marcus, thanks a lot for starting us off at 800-642-1234, taking your thoughts on election polling, polling in general. Mark joins us next in Bloomer. Mark, hi.
Hi there. So every so often I get one of these people calling me to take the poll, and I struggle because, frankly, I've never liked either candidate that's running, Republican or Democrat, and so I'm stuck. Because I can't honestly vote for either people. I'm voting for the one who I want to defeat the guy I like less.
So, Mark, you have trouble answering the poll. Come election day, if I may ask, do you find yourself choosing a candidate, or are you still stuck then?
I picked the candidate who is the least offensive.
Okay.
They both offend me, but the least offensive is the one I picked.
Mark, thanks a lot for sharing. That'd be interesting if polls could. I mean, pollsters do try to measure that level of excitement or engagement with candidates. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Weird on Facebook from Luke, who says there are a lot of people out there who purposefully mess with polls given the opportunity to do so. That's their prerogative, but if you're going to do that, then stop complaining about polls being wrong. I know that's a concern among pollsters as well. Still time for you to share your thoughts on polling. If you follow them or not, or think they're bad in some way, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We heard from Zachary on Facebook, who says he feels like answering questions on a poll, it becomes clear they're steering you to the outcome they see as favorable. Interesting. I know there are push polls out there. Back to your calls now. Sarah is with us in Libertyville, Illinois. Sarah, hi.
Hello. Hi. I was listening interestedly to this, and I was started to think about how campaigns all do their internal polling, and then they make their decisions, a lot of them based on their internal polling. And I'm wondering, and I haven't heard, like, if that's getting more unreliable, or is it? And are they doing less of it, or do they do it differently somehow that they think is more useful?
And Sarah, have you been polled ever yourself?
You know, I got one phone call once, and I just got irritated and I hung up.
Oh, no. Okay, so you didn't end up being counted in that one. I got you. Sarah, interesting. Thanks a lot for sharing that. I know I've talked to Charles Franklin from the Marquette poll about those internal polls for campaigns as well. But he says they're kind of guarded. We don't always know what is happening inside those polls and how well they do. Well, you can keep telling us how you feel about polls and surveys. You can do that in a couple different ways. You can email ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Got an open conversation there. And we just heard from Ed, actually, on Facebook, who says, it's also time to end the process of suggesting the Democratic Party has also already lost the midterm election that will take place next year. There's a water that will go over the dam before the election takes place. Interesting point. The polling of today may not reflect the elections of a year from now. Again, keep sharing your thoughts on polling on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Thanks to everybody who weighed in on political polling. Thanks for standing up and being counted. And again, if you didn't get on, you got something to say, leave a comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page.